This is
Cyber Station USA.
I warn you, their ingenuity goes hand in hand with their technology.
I think it's fair to call this hostile territory.
For you, I'll make an exception.
What you hold in your hand is the proof of their power.
Come here. You're not hurt, right?
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Neil Haley Show's Author's Corner segment. And I always love Triumph books. And I'm so glad to kind of get back really doing this on a regular basis. I wish they have so many different books. And my guest, I know I talked to after we talked off air years ago. And isn't that funny? Just like him, we know we talked to each other before, but I think the story was he was driving and had to stop to get, and we finally got the audio to do the interview. But I'm excited to welcome to the program Steve Zippe. Steve, thanks for calling Big 50 Rangers. And I brought up right before the interview, what has happened to the Rangers franchise? Thinking about one of the most successful franchises, the most iconic with Madison Square Garden, and what has happened to this organization in the past, let's say, 5 years, that's not made them relevant anymore.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on, Neil. It's good to talk to you again. All sports, the Rangers are one of the original professional franchises, as you know, in the New York area, along with the NFL's Giants and the Yankees and the Knicks, who also play at the Garden, obviously. And all the rest of the teams are expansion teams, whether it's the two other hockey teams or the Jets or the Mets. So the Rangers have now been in business for 93 years. And any franchise in any sport is going to have ups and downs. There's no doubt about it. And the Rangers have certainly had their down years between 1998 and 04 when they came back from the lockout.
Right.
They missed the playoffs. But for the 11 of the next 12 years, up until the last two when they missed the playoffs, they won 11 out of 12. I mean, they made the postseason 11 out of 12 and went, to some extent, you know, second round. In 2014, they went all the way to the finals, you know, so they have had success at a certain level. Now, of course, you know, only one team can win and the other 30 go home, just like in the NFL or anywhere else, the NBA. And the Rangers have been competitive, and that's what makes them popular, at least to this generation, let's say, in the 2000s.
Which I agree, and you kind of reminded me of that fact. I'm just thinking, what's happening now, I can't even think of. Why wouldn't players want to play in Madison Square Garden? Why wouldn't they want to play for the Rangers? Where it's in New York, it's a hockey night, any night when the Rangers play. What a great atmosphere to play in. And yet, we're not seeing these top-notch stars playing in New York anymore. What do you think the reason is?
Well, I think to some extent, and again, this is happening throughout professional sports, some states have a much more liberal income tax landscape. Texas, Florida, Tennessee. I'm sure I'm missing some. Vegas. Well, Vegas is not a state, the last I checked, but Nevada.
Yeah, yes.
Vegas is a state of mind, many people say, though. But anyway, that lures more prospective free agents because they can, you know, they're saving millions of dollars in taxes per year.
Yep.
That's one thing. New York is always a tough market in all sports. The fan base is rabid. The fan base is passionate. Sports radio and the newspapers are very critical. There's a list of reasons and a list of players who could not make it in New York. They last 2 years. They can't pitch at Yankee Stadium. They can't hit at Shea Stadium. You know, they crumble in the garden. They just don't, you know, you just can't handle the pressure and the attention. And then they go somewhere else to, I don't know, pick a city, a smaller city, not Chicago, not LA.
I would pick Pittsburgh. Even Pittsburgh
is a fine, right, right. I think it's a, you know, there's only three or four other sports teams there. There's no NBA team in Pittsburgh, right? So the pressure, I think, is a little, but listen, the bottom line is you win, people will come. Pittsburgh is one. People show up. Rangers haven't won anything. We haven't won a Stanley Cup since 1994. 25 years.
Oh, goodness gracious. Maybe this is the year, right? Your book's out big, 50.
No, unfortunately, they're rebuilding, so they may not make the playoffs again this year. Which is kind of why I wrote the book, you know, to segue over to that. You know, I mean, it's a period of transition for the Rangers. Again, after that, their 12-year run, which was pretty special and garnered a lot of attention in New York, despite the other sports. And this is a transition year. You know, we used to say in New York, you know, you have one foot on the platform and you have one foot on the train. You know, the Rangers right now are in that kind of in-between area. And who knows how long a rebuilding takes in any sport.
It makes
sense. You
don't
just turn it over. It's like...
With free agency, that's the biggest excuse in the world. Just look at the Knicks and the Rangers, for God's sakes.
Right.
Come on now. Two unbelievable, iconic teams at one point in time. Now, they're irrelevant. And I'm sure, like, Stephen A. Smith must be going crazy, right? Certain people that love talking about these franchises. What the heck has happened? And so... I understand rebuilding, but if you told Pittsburgh Penguin fans you're going to rebuild and not make the playoffs for 4 years, they'd go crazy. They'd say unacceptable,
absolutely.
Unacceptable, Mario Lemieux, unacceptable. So it has to go to, honestly, administration. It's got to go to the owner. It's got to go to the general manager. They're not doing what they need to be doing or they'd be winning, unless it's more difficult than you think to make the playoffs every year and to have a Stanley Cup run.
Well, you know, again, it depends on the competition. And let's just talk hockey for a second. Depends on the competition in your division, which Pittsburgh is in with the Rangers, the Islanders, Washington, which won 2 years ago. Carolina has gone through a sort of a rebuild and is really going to be good this year. Philadelphia is coming back with former Ranger coach Alain Vigneault. So, and the Penguins with Crosby, you're still going to always be, you know, competitive and chances are they'll make the playoffs again. But having said that, you still need talent, and the Rangers accelerated the rebuild in the offseason by spending $81 million for 7 years of Artemi Panarin, who played with who's a dynamic young player who played for Columbus last year, and $56 million for 7 years after they traded for a defenseman, Jacob Trouba, who was with Winnipeg. So it's not a strictly, okay, everybody's 23 and go out and play. They're already starting to realize that you have to be competitive to win. Otherwise, you're stuck. And that always in every sport is costing money.
Costing money, yes. And so I just can – so the Big 50 talks about – what time period for the Rangers? You love
the
writing.
The whole 93 years.
The whole.
You know, from 26 on, from 1926 on, and it goes through the 70s, the 80s, the 90s. And what's different, I think, about, well, let's put it this way. On social media, you see a lot of lists, right? Social media is big on lists. Who are the top 20 quarterbacks? Who are the top five left wings in hockey? Who are the top 100 players? As you know, sports isn't only about the players for fans, from fans' point of view. It's about coaches. It's about general managers. And it's about moments in the games, probably the most important things that are what people remember. Mike Richter made a great, unbelievable save on Pavel Bure in Game 4 of the 1994 Finals in Vancouver. I defy you to tell me a Ranger fan who was around at that time and still, knock on wood, is still alive won't tell you that that's one of the greatest moments in Rangers history. Yeah, it's great to win the Stanley Cup and you parade around, but you know what? That was an awesome moment. So this book covers not only, this is just not a list of the 50 best players. This has a chapter about outdoor games in New York, which if you've ever been to Yankee Stadium or Citi Field to watch hockey, it is an awesome scene. You know, with the light snow coming down. Now, Pittsburgh has hosted outdoor games as well in Heinz Field, if I remember right.
Yes, it was very, it was very awesome. And
you know, and those are the things that fans remember, or that are memorable things. You know, a triple overtime goal by Pete Stemkowski, who wrote the short foreword for the book, in which he tells great stories about that moment. Excuse me. There's also, as I was mentioning to you before, about Marty St. Louis on Mother's Day in 2014 after his mom had died and they were behind Pittsburgh in the series in May of 2014. Team went to the funeral and they galvanized somehow, you know, something as emotional as that. They forced the seventh game against Pittsburgh, beat Pittsburgh, went on to beat Montreal, and made their first final, Stanley Cup final, since 1979. So it's about that, and particularly about Mother's Day at the Garden, where Marty scores a goal, and he said, you know, I know she was looking down at me, and, you know, my dad's here, and or my brother's here, and sister are here, you know, and just another great moment for fans to remember beyond the, you know, the losses in the playoffs. So I write about them, too.
Awesome stuff, for sure, when you talk about that. And that's what you're attracting in writing this book, is you want to attract the true lifetime Ranger fans. The ones.
Well, and I think hockey fans of all.
Yeah, of all anybody. Yeah,
because you know what? You know, players like Jaromir Jagr, one of the great players of all time, former Penguin, former Capital. His 3.5 years with the Rangers helped turn around those first few years where, as I mentioned before, when they missed the playoffs from 98 to 2004, and he comes on the scene in 05 and 06 and 07, and they start making the playoffs again. And he was quite a character and one of the greatest, forget just foreign-born players in NHL history, but one of the great scorers and personalities in NHL history.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I mean, impressive. And Jagr, and I think I was pretty frustrated, right, as a Penguin fan, seeing him sign with the Rangers, right? That was probably one of the worst stories for Pittsburgh fans, the Rangers. I think of Mark Messier. I know he's, when you think of somebody of Ranger folklore, you think of Messier as well, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, some people say he may have been a hired gun, which was true after winning in Edmonton. But, you know, he had a leadership quality and a grittiness and a way to, you know, make players be better by his presence on and off the ice. And that's exactly what the Rangers needed back in 1994. And, you know, it was a great moment and he will go down. If it wasn't for all his great years in Edmonton with all those cups, there would be a statue for him outside the Garden. But he really won more in Edmonton than he did at the Garden. But he in New York.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shake-up to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
Cyrus Mission USA.
Fat Hyper Station USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. Fat Hyper Station USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach. A fully integrated, one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at Cameo at CyberStationUSA.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA, always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide. Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
York, he was there at the moment and he delivered.
So for the research you got to do, you talked about 1926 all the way to today. That's a challenge too, right? Looking at times when you weren't alive and there were the Ranger. And so who did you turn to in research to put some of those memories out there in the years in the 20s, 30s, and 40s for the Rangers?
Well, 50s? Stan Isaacs has, I mean, Stan has been around forever. You know, a lot of players, I shouldn't say a lot of players, a lot of reporters that were, that covered that era, not necessarily even covered it, but were aware of it and grew up in the 40s and 50s who were a lot closer to that than I am, to talk to them, to do research of folks that have written books about that and talk to players who remember or coaches and general managers that are still alive, like Emil Francis. Frank Boucher was still around. And so having done interviews, I've been doing this for, God, I've been a sports writer for I don't know how many years, but the last 15 years pretty much with the Rangers, and even a little bit before that filling in. Well, like I was at the 1994 Stanley Cup series more as a general assignment reporter at that point. But, and I was a sports media and business columnist at Newsday before taking on the Rangers and the NHL full time. So you run into a ton of people, that's for sure.
And that's very interesting. What do you hope to get out of this book most? You've written a lot of books, Steve. What is your ultimate goal with this book?
You know, I just want fans to have a quick, I mean, it's 300 pages. With little sidebars that are in and famous dates. I want Ranger fans to have a lot of fun reading about this in about the history of a team without it's not dry. There's quotes, it's a fresh look, and it's my opinion of the top 50 moments and men, including coaches, who really had an impact and were influential in the growth and the downside of some parts of this franchise. And everybody still focuses on 94, and deservedly so. But again, in those, the last 10, 11, 12 years, there was some terrific players, including Henrik Lundqvist, Marty St. Louis, you know, Jagr, as we mentioned, who really will have a place in Rangers history. Is anybody that's still on the team right now outside of Henrik Lundqvist and I guess Mark Stahl? Will there be enough of those guys to do a sequel? Who knows? But I think this book is a good gift for fans, a good gift for hockey fans as well as Ranger fans and of all ages.
Good Christmas gift, Hanukkah gift, or even like a gift, or right. even a Halloween gift right now. But we're not.
that would be spooky.
Yeah. So do you remember the Rangers by reading
That's
this
right.
Big 50, especially with the problems. When do you think the Rangers are going to be back in the playoffs? How many years you give them?
Well, I really doubt this year. You know, everything's so fluid in the NHL with the injuries. It's like in the NFL with a shorter season, injuries can, you know, derail you pretty quickly. So you got to be healthy. You got to have some talent. You got to have some puck luck, as they say. But I don't see it this year. I think they're a sort of a bubble wild card team this year. I think next year is when they're aiming for. The Hockey News rated their minor league system as in the top two, I believe, if not number one last year. So, you know, we'll see. It's difficult, but I think it's maybe 2 years away. They might get in the playoffs, but I don't really see them coming back for a Stanley Cup.
All right, we'll have to see. We'll have to see. So best place we can find information on you, where can we go? And we know we can buy the book at triumphbooks.com, but also in all finer bookstores, independent bookstores, anything in the New York area for sure. But where
right,
can we
certainly Amazon and Barnes and Noble, places like that.
But what about for you?
Information for me, my big thing right now is on Twitter, Steve.Zappe on Twitter. Not on Facebook, but, you know, if somebody wanted to reach me there, that'd be fine.
And Twitter's a great place because that's where the conversations are started and go. And best
yeah,
of luck to you.
You have breaking news. You have a lot of journalists on there.
So do you write for the Knicks as well and also any of the New York sports teams or just the Rangers?
No, I don't. No, I don't. Not anymore. Not for the last 15 years. I mean, I fill in on things, you know, when in the off season I've covered some Yankees and Mets and some Giants and Jets. But I've been to a couple Knicks practices, but my primary focus for the last 15 years has really been the Rangers and the NHL.
All right. Well, Steve, thanks for calling, and hope to chat with you again next book, okay?
Thank you again, Neil. Good luck. Have a happy winter season.
Oh, you too. Take care. Thanks again.
All right.
Bye. Bye-bye. You're listening to Neil Haley's show, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Mike Velarde Show, and I'm excited to welcome to the show the host, Mike Velarde. Mike, how are you? 2020 is soon going to be here, and the campaign keeps getting more and more excited. I saw all the posts on Facebook. I saw that your campaign's in full motion, and you are right now in New York getting ready. So tell us a little about what's happening.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm here with two people that are really going to help me tremendously in this campaign. The first is Rob, who's a CPA, but he's also a conservative political activist who engages, you know, with emerging and existing leaders working to bridge the gap between thought and action. And he is the national director at the American Catalyst Organization, a public policy leadership organization. He's here with me. And my friend Joe Tringali, who's been my college buddy for 40 years, who's going to be my chief of staff down in Washington after we win. So I'm really excited to have these two guys on the show today with me. And we're going to have a chance to talk to them and get to know them a little bit because they're both amazing people.
All right. So Mike, introduce the first one and I'll start asking questions and you can ask them too because you're the host.
All right. Okay, Rob, why don't we start with you?
Great. Thanks for inviting me today.
I'm glad to have you on the show. Robert's had extensive political experience. He's absolutely a political mastermind. I've never come across anybody with his depth of knowledge and experience. And it's just an honor and a pleasure to have him working to help me on my team and my campaign.
Well, Mike, you know, it's 384 days between now and Election Day 2020. So every minute counts. Being in places, in district, I know you're spending a great deal of time with the constituents and those who understand what's at stake back in the congressional district. But it's great that we're able to meet here today in New York City. Last night I was with folks in Delaware, in Wilmington. So between Palm Beach, Wilmington, Delaware, New York City, we have many, many people who are rooted in conservatism looking forward to the work that's going to be done once you're elected and we help elect other conservative candidates for 2020, 2021 and beyond.
What do you see as the biggest challenges Mike has to overcome in the primary coming up?
Well, the primary process is a great time for candidates to compete with like-minded colleagues, other people who want to seek the same role of representing the people and the constituents of one particular congressional district. So the process is a healthy one. There are those who have similar ideas, and Mike brings a unique background as a former federal agent dealing with corrupt and crooked politics and political environments.
Yes, definitely. And that's needed very much, Mike, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's systemic, unfortunately, in politics. And I worked some of these cases when I was a criminal investigator for the IRS. And it's something that really needs to change.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. It's definitely something that needs to change. And there's just so much different things for sure, Mike. And Mike, any other, you can continue to lead those questions in, but with adding him to the campaign, this is going to really help the process of putting this team together because of the long game that you have to prepare for yourself for November.
Absolutely. And just one thing about the corrupt politicians, that's why I'm an advocate for term limits, so that people don't stay there for 40 years and make it a 40-year career. That's not what it was intended to ever be. And so that's one of the things we need to change when I get to Washington. Now, the other person I want to introduce is my good friend Joe Tringali. Joe is going to be my chief of staff down in Washington. The reason for that is I've known Joe for 40 years. We worked together at the Dining Commons, where we worked together to make an impact and to make the place a better eating establishment for all the students. But Joe's a guy that has always had my back. You could trust him. He's 100% trustworthy. We've always worked together, and we've had a very strong friendship where every year we meet in New York City for a week. And, you know, even though I graduated in 82 and again in 84 from grad school, we've been friends ever since. And I just want to introduce Joe, and so he can tell you a little bit about who he is and what he's done. Joe.
Great. Thanks so much, Mike. I really appreciate that. Mike and I have been friends for over 40 years. And loyalty and trustworthiness and honesty, they come to mind with Mike Velotti. And his campaign of freedom, family, and faith is something that when I heard it, I want to stand with him. I want to back him up behind that. And I'm very excited that he's actually running for office, that he did, in fact, make that commitment to run for office.
Yes.
So I'm really looking forward to the campaign coming up.
And what do you see? What are your plans to get get Mike ready?
There's a lot of areas that we have to take a look at. We have to generate some awareness. We have to get on some shows. We have to let people know what Mike's message is, and that's really what Mike wants to let people know, that he's running on his message.
Yeah, the issues. I mean,
go ahead.
I mean, my issues of tax-exempt Social Security, which for 40 years, they tax you. You don't get no tax deduction. They take the money from you, then when they give it back to you, there's an 85% tax. It's just wrong. It's double taxation. You're stealing money from the elderly. It shouldn't be. That's the first thing. The second thing is how I have a unique way to help fund health care. Instead of asking for 70% tax rates and trying to steal money from all the wealthy people, what we do is we give wealthy people an incentive to give towards medical scholarships. So they'd have the opportunity to get 100% tax deduction and a 2% tax credit. So if they give $300,000, we're going to take $6,000 off their tax bill and give them 100% deduction. That's an incentive to give. Once somebody receives that medical scholarship, they'll go to work for the state. Not the federal government, but the state. Why? It gets rid of the two biggest costs in healthcare, which is your medical biller, which is a six-figure a year job, and the cost of malpractice insurance, because states can limit what you can sue them for because they're a state. So By doing that, we can provide health insurance for $79 a month with a $25 copay. And if you really need to make a lot of visits to the doctor, you can pay $129 with a $10 copay. So it's affordable health care for everybody. You're going to have doctors continually coming through the system. They'll start at a modest salary of $85,000 a year. We'll get a $15,000 a year increase, but they'll have no debt coming out of medical school. They're going to get a $300,000 scholarship. So essentially, they get a $75,000 a year tax-free benefit when they
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shake-up to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA, always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide.
Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
Accept that position, or may accept that scholarship. So we think it's a plan that'll appeal to both Democrats, Republicans, liberals, conservatives, and that's how we plan to win the elections on issues.
That's important. It's all about, you know, winning on the issues. And I just throwing this back to you guys. That's the thing. Mike is a different type of Republican running with his platform so that he can really meet the needs of South Florida, right, guys?
Well, yeah, you know, it really comes down to authentic leadership. One of the problems we have when we get people who are considering entering a race for United States House of Representatives is that they want to be somebody as opposed to wanting to do something. And that's one of the appealing attributes that someone like Mike, who's dedicated himself to public service as he described in his previous role, is now stepping forward within his community, within his congressional district, to reach out to people and obtain an understanding firsthand of what are those issues most important to you, your neighbors, and your family. And as Mike just articulated, repeatedly, healthcare remains at the forefront. Taxation and the size and scope of government remains at the forefront. But we did some interesting grassroots research in Florida that connected with members of the Black and Latino communities. And by going into the communities where traditional Republican parties or candidates fail to go, perhaps even fear to go, we were able to learn of the top three issues that present themselves time and time again. One is choice. Two is life, and three is Second Amendment. And the choice that the members of the Black and Latino community are talking about is school choice. They're pro-life, and their Second Amendment rights to self-defense, because their experience as minorities has often been that when their life and their property is at risk, police and law enforcement are minutes away when seconds count.
Exactly. And that's that. Those are so important things. And Mike, I guess in so many ways, they kind of outline what their plans are. What are your plans, Mike? What do you have to do coming up soon for yourself? Tell us about that.
When I get back from New York on Saturday, I'm going into the Black community. And I have a guy I'm working with there. His name is Paul Sinat. He's one of these professional poker players. You see him on TV all the time. And he's gotten on board with my campaign and to help me. So we're going to actually be handing out water bottles in the park with my picture on it. Saying Mike Velarde for Congress. We're going to be meeting with some of the single mothers that need housing. We're going to try to address that issue on affordable housing in the neighborhood. I'm going to try and sponsor a football team there, get to know some of the kids, go into the hood and get to know these people and see how I can help them. Because really what I want to do is I want to help the community. I want to help the people. I want to make their lives better by giving them opportunities. It's about the opportunities. It's not just about giving them stuff. That's what the Democratic Party tries to do. They give them stuff, but I want to give them the opportunity so they can better their lives, not only today, but tomorrow and going forward.
Most definitely. And Mike, so that's a great plan of action. And the fundraising is the other strategy. What questions do you have for your guests? Any other questions you have for the guests today?
Yeah, well, I want you to get to know, I just want them to tell you who they are. I'm so happy to have people like this, quality people that who are just great at what they do and just that you can count on. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Rob has worked on many political campaigns. I mean, he's just a brilliant strategist. He's been around a long time, knows a lot of people. Joe, like I said, I've known for 40 years. I mean, I trust him like a brother. I mean, we've been through thick and thin for those college years when we were together all the time. So we're very proud to have both these guys on my team.
Let's follow through with the conversation about funding. Funding for any congressional campaign today is critically important. And certainly Mike is going to be appealing to members of the community for small dollar contributions, sponsorships, and maybe even a few major donors who understand that this campaign is dependent upon their commitment and their help to underwrite the grassroots initiatives.
Yes,
that
for sure.
Mike and people are going to be undertaking. So it's a journey. It's a journey that basically we're going to be walking through five steps. The first step begins with people who are curious and interested and want to be informed and want to be involved and are willing to invest not only in this campaign, but invest in what it is going to take to build a congressional office in district that is responsive and ready to hear what their pressing issues are. Constituent services is a key part of being a House of Representatives member. And so it begins in a primary, it leads to the general, and when successful, we really have to be in a position with Joe's help and Mike's leadership to actually be responsive to the people of the congressional district.
Yeah, I want to change politics and the way it's run. I mean, I'm trying to run a campaign without having to attack anybody or to try and, you know, find out, you know, their hidden secrets. I mean, I don't think that's necessary. I want to run a campaign on issues. And it's like a job interview. Who's the best qualified for the job? I believe I'm the best qualified, not only among the Republican candidates, but a much better candidate than the current office holder. She hasn't done very much. And I want to make changes, big changes, changes that are going to help the people. Help the people by providing quality health care, by giving senior citizens the full Social Security that they deserve, they paid into for the years to come, term limits to get rid of corruption, a responsive IRS, and
and other tax benefits, like increasing the amount you can deduct when you have a $30,000 loss in the stock market. The IRS only allows you to take $3,000 a year to recoup it. I want to change that $3,000 to $10,000. You should be able to get your money back that much quicker. So everything that we're doing is to put money in the pocket of the taxpayer. Okay, I'm a big advocate of smaller government, effective government, efficient government, not out of control, runaway spending government.
Fantastic. And I think that, guys, to kind of finally follow, kind of wrap it up, what else would you like to add?
It's giving individuals more freedom. Mike wants people to have more freedom. Right now, the way we're taxed, you're taxed on a federal level, you're taxed on a state level, it could be a city level, you're taxed at the gas pump, you're taxed at sales tax, you're taxed all over. And it's becoming so cumbersome to people, they need that money. And this is one of the areas that Mike wants to address. Give that freedom back, give that choice back to people.
All right. Well, fantastic, guys. Best place, again, is to check Mike Velarde out on Twitter and Facebook. Right, Mike? And your website. What's your website again?
Absolutely. Velarde 2020. And if you have any IRS issues, winningtaxsolutions.com. And if you want to read a really great book, MikeVelardeBooks.com. Because I just came out with my book, The Time of His Coming, which is a tremendous read. I just happen to have a really great editor that makes me look absolutely brilliant. So it's a really good book. So that's the key writing a book, is having a great editor to review it and make those necessary corrections, if you will.
The key to a really good book, mm-hmm. is about having a readership base. And by broadcasting today who you are, where you're from, where you're going, I want to encourage our listening audience to grab a copy and learn more about your great
book. All right. Well, fantastic. Yeah, go ahead.
No, thank you. Thank you for today's show. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it, guys. All right. So that was the Mike Velarde Show, and I appreciate it, Mike. Look forward to next week's show. So take care.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Take care, guys. We're back to the Neil Haley Show on the Total Celebrity segment. And, you know, it's very interesting when you talk to athletes. And I got to be honest, I've probably only interviewed a few that, you know, Canadian Football League is their home. They talked about stories where they started in the NFL and had to go to the Canadian Football League. So I'm excited to welcome the program Lyle Green. Lyle, how are you? Former Canadian football star, podcaster now. I appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you very much. I'm doing great. And I'm looking forward to our talk.
And it's very interesting. I saw that you grew up in Kitchener and I wrestled as a professional wrestler there years ago for a promotion.
No way.
Back in the day, Joey Legend wrestled there and Rhino Richards. Rhino was a big WWE star. I was a minor league for X amount of years and I was on that tour in Kitchener. So I remember it completely. So,
oh, cool. At the old auditorium.
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. And it was a great experience. I forgot other different people there. I was on tour with the Bushwhackers and stuff like that. So if we're looking, I'm 46. Oh, nice. I see you're 45. So you're probably at that time. It was 20 years ago. You're probably playing football in the Canadian Football League at that point, right? If we're looking at time stamping, this is 23 years ago, right? I'm looking at.
Yeah. I've been 20 years ago. I've been playing. Maybe what year is that? Yeah, maybe my first few years, or maybe just finishing up college.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about real quick, Lyle. The whole thing is, so you grew up in Canada. Is that a challenge to, you know, push, you look at Canadian to have that goal of playing professionally when you grew up in Canada, and when so many people's dreams are hockey?
Yeah, definitely. Hockey is the main sport here in Canada, and it's maybe a much easier, much more smoother path, I guess, to make it in hockey than is football. Football isn't really thought of as much up here as hockey is, but it's getting more popular and it's getting better. And the schooling up here, like the universities and the players, are getting better, so it's getting easier to do that. But yeah, definitely, it's a tough road to get to the pro level as a football player.
And I remember I interviewed an NFL player, and he'll come to me in a second, that played for the Eagles, that was from Canada, that I think ultimately did not go play Canadian college football. So there are opportunities to play college football in Canada, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There are Canadian universities and they do offer football. Back when I started out, it wasn't, the quality obviously wasn't as good. Most of the better players end up getting scholarships and going down to the States. But now the caliber of players and the coaching is, that's the big thing. The coaching is getting better because a lot of ex-players are becoming coaches up here in Canada, which helps keep some of the talent up here as well. So the caliber of players are getting better up here in the Canadian university. So more and more players are becoming pro athletes from the Canadian schools.
So you went on to play at Akron. So I was looking at that, different things, and at that time period.
Actually, it's Toledo.
Toledo. I'm sorry. I apologize. Toledo. And you get those mixed up in the MAC sometimes. You played at Toledo.
The MAC schools.
Yeah. Did you ever play Pitt back then when you were at Toledo?
We never played Pitt, no. We played Ohio State. Played them at the big house, and didn't turn out too well that day. But we did play at Penn State and we actually won that game. My senior year, we played at Penn State, and we actually beat them that year. So we played some big schools and some pretty big games. We played Purdue one year when Drew Brees his freshman year.
Oh.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
Cyber Station USA.
Cyber Station USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. Cyber Station USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop-shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. Stitcher.
Stitcher.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archived CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
Stitcher.
CyberStation USA. Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The cyber station, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide.
Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
Okay. I was playing, yeah. So we've played some good caliber players. Played Randy Moss against Randy Moss when he was at Marshall. He hurt us pretty badly a couple of times in the MAC championships. But that's Randy Moss, so you expect that kind of thing. But we played against some pretty good players along the over the years.
What other schools recruited you in the United States to play?
Syracuse recruited me a little bit, in the MAC schools, like Kent State and Western Michigan. Those were the schools that were most interested. But Toledo came after the hardest, and there's a lot of – they recruit Canada quite a bit, and there's a group of Canadian guys that were there already. So that's a good fit for me and a good spot for me. So I'm not too far from home as well, so that was nice as well. So – Toledo is definitely the best place for me to go.
Now, you brought up Toledo. You saw a player that ended up playing in the NFL, and I forget where he's at. I tutored him
back in Pittsburgh, back when he played at Penn Hills, Trayvon Hester. I don't know if you continue to focus on Toledo and certain players that played in the NFL. So that's kind of an interesting conversation. He blocked the kick that they did not give him credit for last year against the Bears. So I felt pretty proud. I tutored him in the SAT. And yeah, remember the kicker for the Bears blew that kick. So there goes the Toledo connection. The always interesting connections. Kitchener, Toledo, we'll go from there. Yeah. So did you ever, and did you have aspirations to play in the NFL at that point in time when you were playing at Toledo? Did you think you had a shot?
Oh, yeah.
Did you try out?
Yeah, obviously that's the goal, to play at the highest level. So, I definitely want to play in the NFL. But, this wasn't didn't quite have all the numbers or the speed or the size, because I was kind of a tweener for my position as a running back, but I was not really fast enough to be a tailback. I didn't have the 40 and the 4.4s or 4.3 40, so it was tough to make it. But yeah, we had pro days at the school, and some of the NFL teams would come by, and I did my training in my 40s and all the drills and stuff like that, but nothing came about for me to make it to NFL, which would have been nice. But definitely can't complain. I had a nice long career in the CFL. I got to play pro football for 10 years.
That's fantastic. Yeah,
I definitely can't complain. Yeah.
And looking at that time period, if we go back historically, the Arena Football League was pretty big at that time, and also I think NFL Europe as well at that time. So the decision for they were really big at that point. What made you decide in the CFL versus those two other options? Because you could have played Arena League. There's no doubt. I'm sure you could have. And then looking at specifically enough NFL Europe at that time.
Yeah, CFL is probably the best fit. For one, I was drafted by them, so I was picked up by BC, so as a first round pick, as a third pick in the draft, in the CFL draft, and so that was a big draw. So the financially, I guess that would be the best option for me, for one, and obviously being in Canada, back home in my native country, is another draw as well. So those two factors were what I guess led me to go to the CFL.
Interesting. And I guess that probably at that time in that option, which one was considered the higher level? You probably had lots of NFL players that got cut that headed on to any of those leagues we talked about, Arena, the other. How about the ones that came that had their cup of coffee in the NFL then came to the CFL? What kind of experiences did you have with some of those players that came through, and how did they think a little differently than the ones that just stayed with the CFL?
Guys that come to the NFL
from the NFL.
I guess a lot of them are, I guess you could say, surprised at the level of play, because it's really, really good football, real high quality football. So a lot of guys from the NFL might come up and kind of think that they can just show up and dominate in the CFL, which isn't the case. It's a little bit of a learning curve for one. It's a little bit of a different game. And again, once they get here, they're surprised at the level of the quality of play that the CFL players have, because we're pretty much, just as fast, just as quick, just as strong. The only difference is between a NFL guy and a CFL guy, maybe size-wise, NFL guys might be a bit bigger and maybe a tad faster, but for the most part, it's a pretty equal level of play. So. Once they get here, they realize it's high quality football, and a lot of guys that come from the NFL end up don't making it up here in the CFL, because they maybe have the wrong attitude towards the game and don't put in the work that they need to stay here and to sustain a career up here. But it's a high quality league, and lots of great players that are playing up here that could play in the NFL, but decide not to go back down because of all the politics or the uncertainty of having to make another team there. So, but yeah, it's a great league and great quality football for sure.
Well, the biggest stars I'd say in the CFL that I remember, if I talk about before your time, and then I want to ask which ones did you have that came through that were high play, high level, known American players that came to the CFL. Let's think about Doug Flutie. Let's talk about Warren Moon, who's probably the greatest player that ever played in the NFL that went on to the NFL. would you say, Warren Moon, and I'm trying to think of Billy White Shoes Johnson as well. I think he came from
He played up here, yeah.
Yeah, I interviewed Billy White Shoes.
Joe Theismann. Joe Theismann actually played up here, yeah.
Yeah. So who would you say?
Jeff Garcia.
Yeah. What about when your time? Who were the biggest players that came to the CFL at your time from the NFL?
Cam Wake, who's a player I played with. He played with me in BC. He was with us for a couple of years, his first 2 years, and just dominated and was defensive player of the year this 2 years up here, and just wreaked havoc across the league and went down to the NFL in Miami and did the same thing down there. So I guess Cam would probably be the top player for me that I played with.
Are you still involved in the CFL in any way, Lyle, promoting it or doing anything to kind of carry the flag from playing 10 years there?
No, nothing official, no official posts or anything like that. I still go to some Lions games, some BC Lions games up here, and still support and follow the team, follow the league when I can. But nothing official. But I still love the game and still love watching and supporting the guys and know some of the guys and actually probably know more of the coaches now than and the players that are out there, but still love the game and still support them.
Are you ever thinking of being like a commentator, being a play, being a part of the CFL in a way of like a journalist type thing where you kind of cover some of the games and stuff like that and be giving the kind of color commentating? Have you ever thought of doing that for the CFL?
I thought about it a little bit. When I first left the game, I kind of inquired a little bit about getting into that, but up here there's only the one station. There's only TSN that covers football. So not like in the States where there's so many teams for one and so many opportunities to get into broadcasting. Up here it's just the one. So nothing I'm pursuing, but if something comes up, I'd definitely listen and be interested in seeing what they'd offer. But nothing that I'm pursuing right now.
All right, life after football. How did you make once you're retired from the CFL? What was your plan? Did you have a plan in action to what you wanted to do?
Nothing official. I mean, I did have my education. I have my undergrad and my master's degree. So I kind of figured I could do something with that. But I just tried to find something that that I liked and something that I would fit our family situation. And I got into the mortgage business, and I started out in that, and now I've kind of transitioned into teaching. I'm an instructor at a college up here, so just try and find something that you like. Obviously, you're not going to find something that fulfills you the same way that football does. It's nothing like hearing that roar of the crowd and having that being on the field with your guys and all that stuff, but. You try and find something else that you love and something else that you're passionate about and do that. But it can be a bit of a tough transition because you're doing something for all your life for such a long portion of your life and put all your focus and work and effort into that. So doing something different is anytime you have a change is a difficult situation. But you make the most of it, and like I said, you find something that you love to do and pursue that.
All right, let's talk about your podcast. How long have you been doing it for?
Yeah, so I started the podcast, end of November, most really December of last year. And I just wanted to get an opportunity for guys to share their stories and to share what they're doing after football. And they'll give fans and give others an opportunity to hear what other guys are doing after football. Because after you leave the game, you kind of fall off the map, so to speak, and you don't really know what guys are doing or how their lives are going. So this just gives them an opportunity to share the story and share all the great things that they're doing, because all the times you hear all the negative things of the negative stories of what guys are doing, all the negative stories of football players and how they're getting in trouble and all those type of things. But I want an opportunity for guys to share the positive stories and for people to hear the great things guys are doing. So a lot of guys are doing some great things in their communities, just wanted guys to have a chance to share that.
All right. Fantastic, Lyle. Best place we can connect with you and learn more about you, where can we go?
Yeah, so for the podcast, you can find us on iTunes or Spotify or Google Play. I have a on social media. You can find us at on Twitter and Instagram at atgridiron.com. Atgridiron is our tag, and we have a website is www.atgridiron.com. And yeah, you can find us there. All our podcasts are being broadcast there. All the information that I share is on there. So yeah, just look us up on social media.
All right. Well, fantastic. Well, look forward to learning more of the story and different things and collaborating on certain ventures. So I appreciate you calling.
That's awesome. Thank you. Appreciate your time.
All right, take care. Okay. Thanks again. Bye. You're listening,
right,
you're listening to Neil Haley's show, and we'll be back in just a moment. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Rob Roselli Show. And I'm excited to welcome the program conspiracist, author, and much, much more.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA. Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide.
Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.